Anyone? No? Okay, conflicts of interest? Any conflicts to be declared? Okay, hearing none. Consent agenda. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda, those marked with an asterisk, 6A and 7A.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Yes.
Assemblymember Peterson?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Decker?
Yes. On to the borough manager, or no, excuse me, communications, correct? No, that was accepted already. Okay, borough manager's report.
A couple items. One is the WCA has invited the mayor and any council members that would like to attend to 11 o'clock tomorrow on Weber Street. They have their a person in town that's with the I'm not sure if it's the federal people that gives the grant money out, but anyway, an important person. How about that? So anyway, they're going to do a little thing at the site tomorrow and at 11 o'clock, and certainly if the vice mayor can make that, I
let's see.
When does the mayor get back?
Tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And, yeah, I don't know. I didn't know what the timing was with Dave, and if they just get back, he may need to get settled in and.
Sure.
Where's it going to be at?
So anyway, it's what's that?
Where's it going to be at?
It's at Weber Street.
Weber.
WCA is doing that street on behalf of the city, and. So anyway, they have their person, main person in town, and would like city representation there. So,
okay.
And that's at 11 o'clock. Just an update, and this came out before, but under the state, the capital budget that was approved, there's a handful of things that we received in that. The first item is the 6 Mile Mill property development plan, $90,000, connection to the upper reservoir, which is $615,000, engineering condition assessment of the pool facility and community center, $35,000, former institute property development plan, $100,000, Shoemaker Bay float design, $600,000, water treatment plant pilot study, $150,000, and I think this last one may be going directly to Rangel Cooperative, but the carving shed for $50,000. And I will be out of town. I'm leaving tomorrow on the plane. We'll be back Tuesday morning. And other than that, there's some items on my manager report, but most of them are kind of things where everybody's aware of, so. Oh, one last thing. The downtown revitalization plan that did the concrete and different things, soon we should have some banners. I know Carol and the visitor folks have been working hard on getting those here. They've got the designs done. They're going to send a sample to make sure that what they're putting together is going to fit the pull holders there. And once that is done and they're on board that will work, then they'll go into production. They said it'd take about a week. And then we'll get them air freighted up here and start putting them up. They look cool. Yeah, they did a really nice job. That's you know, they're a combination of either Alaska theme or Wrangell specific themes. So, no, they're really, really neat. And that's about it.
Any questions for the manager? Okay, borough clerk's file.
Other than what is in my report, there will be a Thomas Bay Power Commission meeting in Petersburg at 10 o'clock at their municipal building. And then, as stated in my report as well, I will be leaving town Thursday morning, and I will be back Tuesday, possibly Wednesday, depending on if somebody will come and get me a ride from Ketchikan. So.
And the Thomas Bay Power Commission meeting was which day?
sorry, it's this Thursday, the 12th, at 10 o'clock in the morning.
In junior school.
Okay.
Other than that, we don't have anything.
Okay, any questions for the clerk? We will move on then to mayor and assembly reports and appointments. Do we have any reports by the assembly members? Nothing. Okay. Appointment to fill the vacancy on the Economic Development Committee. We didn't receive any letters, so we'll continue to advertise. And appointment to fill the vacancy on the Borough Assembly. We did receive one letter. Did we receive any others in time? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we appoint Mark Mitchell to fill the vacancy on the Borough Assembly for an unexpired term ending October 2014.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been seconded. Any discussion? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members McCloskey?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Decker?
Yes. Okay, we're on to persons to be heard. We had one person sign up from the last meeting, and do we have anyone else? Okay, Michael Brewster. And please state your name and your address.
Michael Brewster, I live at Evergreen Trailer Park. This is concerning nuisance fires and the smoke that they produce. And apparently there isn't a code. These people can do this. There's no enforcement of it. And I'm wondering if we could get a code to enforce. I mean, I know there's a code with burning fiberglass and stuff like that, but debris burning is what we're talking about here. Massive amount of smoke engulfing the entire neighborhood. And that's all I got.
Okay. Any questions from the assembly? And so you're talking about basically trees and brush?
Yeah, and God knows what else. I mean, but it's yeah.
Or garbage. I mean, that's
what. Well, I wouldn't say it's garbage. I would, but I'm not really sure what's in there. But when there's an onshore breeze, you cannot go out into the back deck, and you have to close all the windows, and so it's not very pleasant. And that's apparently there is no code for that. These people can do that. Is that right? I mean, do you know? I was told by the fire administrator that there's no enforcement of this because there is no code.
I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I would have to look it
up. I don't know. Maybe the police chief can speak to it. It was my understanding earlier that it was the fire department that handled all that, but we could hear from.
Even at the state level, there's no rules against burning natural debris.
Uh-huh.
There is fiberglass, plastics, what do you want to call it, man-made stuff versus wood, grass, brush, that kind of thing. The burning is allowed.
But when they do burn those organics, and it's a mass burning, I mean, and when the smoke is onshore coming, you know, there really has to be some way of, you know, I need help on this, is what I'm asking.
Yeah. It's been my understanding before when things burnt like that, you had to go through the fire department, and that's what they were looking for, was a compatible weather.
Well, I mean, actually, what this person needs to do is haul it to the dump. It's more convenient to burn it on the beach. But that's at my expense, at the neighborhood's expense. I mean, it's a quality of life issue.
Is this continuous?
I mean, is it all the time?
It's a lifestyle. I mean, it hasn't happened recently, but there are three different burnings where you get home from work and you can't go out into the deck, and you have to close all the windows up. There's also the issue of an outside boiler that is being used for heating a house. You know, those boilers there, they stand outside, stand alone, and then the water is pumped into the house. That's an issue also, because for an hour before this thing actually heats up and starts burning properly, we have to, and we're right on the beach there, you know, and an onshore, it's usually an onshore breeze, and for an hour you have to breathe that stuff. And that's the second issue, I guess, is that boiler.
Can we request basically have the clerk kind of look into if there's any code associated with that?
No, we can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And next on our list is Megan Clark.
Megan Clark, 204 First Avenue. I always hate to have to remember my address. And I'm here tonight to talk about the museum and to encourage the council and the community to continue supporting the museum and the Civic Center at our current levels. And just a few things that we have going on over there now. In December, we started an adult and youth education program. We had already had the adult education program previously. We started a youth education program as well that happens once a month. Also, we have completed a basic inventory of the storage room. That project took a very long time because we were basically working from 60 plus years of backlog to try to get everything up to museum professional standards. And also, the photo archives is finally complete. I went through every single photo and made sure that all of their information was correct, and also added some extra keywords to it. And we use those to help with researchers. We actually have quite a few researchers come in, and it also just makes it easier for us to find everything. Unfortunately, there was never an inventory done when the collection relocated to the Nolan Center from the old gym. And the last one was done in 1999 because I did it as a senior in high school. But those projects are going. We're planning on doing archives and the gallery this winter. I only want to do the gallery in the winter because it's problematic to pull cases apart to get at the items in there. Also, Terry, you've all already seen your invitations, I hope. We are having an open house at the Nolan Center for our 10th anniversary. And Terry has put together almost the entire thing. I have to give all the credit to her. But one of the things we're gonna do is we're gonna have the museum open that day for free admission as well. And just to give you a little update on some projects we have in the works over at the museum, I'm starting a digital archive, which hopefully will be available on the webpage. Where the very first thing that's going up is the Hunt Diary, which has unfortunately been lost for 10 years, but recently was refound again after a diligent search. I also have the Wrangell Cemetery project, which is actually a project put together by Ron and Linda Chadwick. But they basically went to the old cemetery and did research on everything there. So it's hopefully I'll have that up online for use relatively soon also. Unfortunately, none of that is digital, so I have to retype it. But and another thing, we've been working really closely with the WCA. We're talking about they're having several hats returned, clan hats returned to them. So we're working on some different grant ideas and proposals to get an exhibit space installed in the museum for those hats, because they're a fabulous part of our community, and currently they're just in a random case, and we're going to end up getting about 7 back total. So I'm working with them to get a new exhibit space. And also I'm working with them for a Shakes Island project interactive display that they want to put over at the museum. I've been talking to Aaron Ingerman about that. We need to figure out how to make that work. But those are our projects in the works. And I would just welcome everybody to come down to the museum and see what we've done lately.
Great. Any questions? Thank you.
And
for
again, my great thanks to Terry for putting together the entire reception, because I was obviously late thinking about it. So I hope to see everybody on July 1st also.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all our public comment. Persons to be heard. And now we'll go, we don't have any unfinished business, so we'll go into new business. Item 13A, we have a proposed ordinance, number 880, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Wrangell Municipal Code Chapter 13.12, Parks, specifically Section 13.12.045, creating park trees regulations. This is the first reading.
Move to approve first reading and move the second reading of the public hearing to be held on June 24th, 2014.
I second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do we have any discussion, questions? Okay, poll vote please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Decker?
Yes. Okay, we are on to item 13B. Proposed resolution number 06-14-1295, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the health reimbursement arrangement for employees of the City and Borough.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 06-14-1595.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion. Yes, Kim.
I made an error in the recommended motion. That should be 1295. I apologize.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or discussions?
Can we get Jeff to speak to this so that they know exactly what it is?
Please.
I can. This program that we have that you're adopting here through the resolution is the reimbursement program we have that supplements our Blue Cross health insurance. And several years ago, as the Blue Cross health premiums skyrocketed, we looked at other options, and what we found was that if we raise the deductible, and this is, we've raised it several times, but at this point it's $3,000 with Blue Cross, but then through this program we reimburse employees once they hit $1,000. So we would reimburse them from $1,000 to $3,000. And we feel that doing that versus just having a $1,000 deductible with Blue Cross will save us somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So the premiums are so much higher with that lower deductible, but then we're finding, and based on history, now, if every single person maxed out that $3,000, we would probably be a little worse off than if we'd gone with Blue Cross. But history has showed that that isn't the case, and that there's a very small utilization of that. So we felt that this is a better route to go. And what the resolution does is, every so often there is things, because of the healthcare reform and other things, that there's amendments to our program that are required by law to continue doing it, and that's what this is just to modify that existing program.
Okay, any other questions or discussion?
Thank you.
Okay, poll vote please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Decker?
Yes. And we are on to 13C. a proposed resolution number 06-14-1296, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, levying a general tax for school and municipal purposes upon all taxable property within the borough for the tax year 2014, pursuant to Wrangell Municipal Code Section 5.04.010, providing for the collection of taxes due in 2014 and prescribing penalties and interest for delinquent taxes.
Move to adopt resolution number 06-14-1596.
1296
too?
Okay. I apologize. I made the same error on that one and the following.
Okay.
Second it.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Jeff, would you like to give a little description?
I can. This is something required each year of us. And what this resolution does is basically adopt our mill rate. And the mill rate is currently is 12.75 and in the in-town area and 4 in the outlining areas. And that will, this is at those same levels. So there's no change in that. But each year we have to adopt the mill rate each and every year. So, but the mill rate is not to change.
Good news.
Yes, that is good news. Okay, any other questions or discussion?
Okay, full vote please. Assembly members Wiederspin?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Becker?
Yes. On to agenda item 13D, proposed resolution number 06-14-1297. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adopting the budget for all funds of the City of Wrangell, Alaska for the fiscal year 2014-2015.
Move to adopt resolution number 06-14-1597 for the 2014-15 fiscal year with the recommended amendments. 1297.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion that it has been seconded.
Yeah. I just asked a question. On the attachment 13D3, mine says reduce senior ball field work 15,000, not 10. I don't know if everybody else. And that's what you said was 10, not 15.
Well, I reduced it. This is the amount it reduced.
This is the reduction.
So it's reducing
that's
it
what
from
I wanted to make
25
sure.
to 10.
It is.
So this is that amount.
Good.
Reducing it.
Okay.
To follow up on that, do we think we can do much at the ball field for 10, or is this something that you...
I don't know the answer to that. I was trying to give them some money, but without, you know, something else to add 15 to there, something else has to be off the capital list probably or somewhere else. I don't know. Is Amber here?
I think she just left.
Okay.
How much is that field actually utilized?
That I couldn't tell you. But, and that's the rub always, is you have something that is utilized a short period of time, you have other things like vehicles and stuff that are used every single day.
And that was my point, if it's underutilized, we have so many other areas that are short where we need the money, that I think we need to look at that. If it's something that's used a whole lot, then maybe we need to push something else and put the money there.
Right.
But
maybe when the Parks and Rec director gets back and we can come back to this question, I had another topic or relevant to this. Are there any other questions by other assembly members on other budget items?
No, the only thing I was thinking on this is maybe Jeff will be able to if we come in more money, maybe we can, if the budget changes due to unforeseen.
Unforeseen positive.
Positive side, yeah. Just keep in mind is all I'm saying. It is used by our youth and everybody.
Yeah.
We do have it, so.
Because as an example, we added the 55,000 to the museum and added another 12.6 to the pool. The pool is something that is used year round. The museum and the civic center is kind of a economic generator for visitors. So you kind of look at that. All those other things are kind of used throughout the year all the time, the money going into them. So, you know, again, like Daniel said, that's kind of the what you look at is how much is it utilized? Is it, you know, a couple months out of the year versus things that are used and generate money into the community? And we certainly have to fund parks and things like that. That's important. But again, when money is tight, does it go here? Does it go there? Certainly try to put it in the areas that it looks like it's going to be used the most and it does the most for you. So,
I mean, one thought I had with sparked by the comment that Brennan made, he mentioned that it would sort of be a group project and there would be a lot of volunteer effort that went into it. And I know that there are a lot of volunteers that work up there. Anyway, so I'm wondering if we can stretch the amount that the city puts in by that and actually get the work completed. I don't know.
I have to say that I don't agree. I agree with the fact that we do need to put money into it, but the utilization of that senior ball field right now isn't as strong as it used to be. And the minor league, major league field, and the T-ball league field, they all get enough utilization. But for the people that come down there to volunteer, that isn't even really, really very hard anymore. I mean, there's just the intention of getting people there to come down and keep score, to ump the games. It isn't there. And I mean, I'm all for it because, I mean, I know the kids need it and it is something that's good for them. I just have a real problem putting that much more money into something that we don't have a lot of utilization to. We just don't. It's not utilized as much as it used to be. $10,000, I know it won't go a whole long ways, but if it's not being utilized, I don't know any other thing to say. But it's just something that it wasn't hardly used at all this year. We did not have a senior league play because we didn't have enough players from Petersburg or anybody else. My thoughts.
Amber, would you mind stepping to the mic? And do you have any thoughts on how much $10,000 would go toward getting the work done that needs to be done out there as a reduced amount from the 25 originally requested?
Yeah, Amber, on the head, 11.2 miles of Mobia Highway. Parks and Rec Director. I agree with Pam. That field has not seen a lot of use in the last couple years. And last year, aside from not having a high school team, it was very hard to even get our adult co-ed softball league up and running. I don't know where the lack of interest when that started. We're really trying to give it a big push right now and see if we can get folks reinterested in playing softball. I still think that obviously it's a facility that we put a lot of money into and time into, and we need to keep it in our coffers and take care of it. But I also understand Jeff's position that there are other things, and I feel very fortunate that I've got the amount of money to take care of our facilities in the budget that we do now. So while I would love to see that field brought up to speed and bring it up to where it needs to be, and I think it does pose some hazards right now in the condition that it's in. If people are to use it, there are some things we can do to try to minimize that until we can start working on finding more funding. As far as Julie, your specific question about the $10,000 and what we can do up there, you know, at a minimum, we would love to. There's a part of the fence is rusting. It's not crumbling down right now, so Is that urgent? Probably not. There has been some discussion about reorienting the field because it's not positioned like it should be, as far as you normally want your home base in the southwest corner, and it's at about a 45 degree angle off of that. So players, both the pitchers and the catchers, they've got the sun in their eye at any given time, depending on where the sun is. So that needs to happen. But more importantly, I think the sub-base is showing through. We've got wood chips that are exposed now. That's what the field was originally built with before capping it. So that's exposed, and there's also a good three inch minus that's on the field, and bigger in some spots. So you've got runners tripping over big rocks. That's not good. Some of that could be cleaned up. It'll take some hand picking, but we could work on that. The $10,000 we might be able to get, depending on what the city could donate as far as sand and gravel. There's been some discussion with DOT. They may have some material that they'd be willing to donate to us, at least to get that thing capped to a point where we can still play on it and have a safe playing field.
So with some of that donation and $10,000 and potential volunteer hours within the community, you think that $10,000 could actually make a somewhat of a difference out there?
I think it could, and I think if we really search long and hard, we might be able to leverage that $10,000 and the volunteer work towards some maybe grant opportunities that are out there. Mm-hmm. There's some that Brendan and I are looking at right now. He's also working right now on putting together a lot of the volunteer hours, just so it's documented. So when we do go and ask for some money, maybe outside, and they're asking for, you know, what is your volunteer input look like, we'll have that documented, and that might go a long way. Little League has put a lot of effort into those ball fields. I dare say a lot more than our department has over the past years. So Brendan's concerns are similar to the other parks and or to the other Little League coaches and volunteers. So I understand his position, and he would love to see that be a nice playing field as well. But I think we can work within $10,000, and we just need to be creative.
Okay. Any questions further? Thank you. Are there any other issues with the budget, questions, changes?
If I could, I'd like to get the city manager to explain the light fund budget, the 5% increase, and how we're going to work that, and why it's necessary for that to go up.
The light fund, when we started the budget this year, as we completed it, went through that process, it was apparent that if we continued the course we were going and did not get the rebate, that we would be losing about in excess of $300,000 in our budget. The reserve right now is in the $900,000 range, and actually the electric utility should have, you know, at least half in reserve of what the annual budget is, which is roughly $4 million or more, and we have $900,000, so the current reserve is inadequate for that type of operation out there. So not only we're underfunded to start with $900,000 in reserve, but if we were going to start losing $300,000 plus a year, it wouldn't take very long before we wouldn't have anything. So the idea was that, before I go there, about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, we had a rate study done, and in the rate study, we included getting the rebate. That was part of maintaining the rates. And at that point, it did not show we needed a rate increase as long as we got the rebate and everything continued. I think what's happened is if we don't get the rebate and the other contributing factors are the heat rate, what happens if someone puts a electric heat into their house? Oftentimes it can cost up to $1,000 for transformers and line work and to upgrade the service, and sometimes it even has to go beyond just the service. It might have to come from, depending on where it's at, you know, if the line's getting to that, that will carry that load, they have to do things in addition to that. So we put in cost us $1,000 for equipment, labor, all that kind of stuff, materials. And because we get such a small return, we buy the power at 6.8 and we sell it at 8 cents, that cent and a half per kilowatt hour, we kind of looked at some averages, and it will take, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 years before you break even. So if you're putting all this cost out there, you know, over the last 4 years, a lot of people have gone to electric heat, but it's going to take you 10 years before you've got these costs going out, and we're not going to recover them for a long period of time. So that's kind of the second contributing factor, along with the rebate. And then the last thing, just employee wages and benefits are skyrocketing. The health care is, a couple years ago, it was going to be 35%, and we upped the deductible and did more different things with that. That saved some. But even with that, it ended up being a 14% increase. And then this year, it's going to be a 12.5%. And that's equivalent to giving an employee, if they had a family on there, a 6% increase in wages. And then they have step increases on top of that. So we're going up 10% a year, 8 to 10%. Cost of living isn't going that. Our revenues isn't doing that. So it's a formula for disaster. And so the only thing that we can do right at this point is to look, I think this fall, we've got a kind of a health insurance expert. We're going to work with her to take some real time when we're not crunched during the budget thing and trying to do that. But when it's kind of the summer rush is over, we're going to look at every single option we have. In Alaska, especially here, we don't have a lot of options because there's only so many things that are offered here in the state of Alaska. But we're going to look at everything that there is out there. We've kind of looked at several of them, but at this point, there wasn't much that was any better. So, but those are the three things: rising costs of having employees, the rebate, and then the heat rate cost to put that in, and then not getting a return on that or a profit on it for a long, long time. So, I think those are the three contributing factors for this.
I understand from talking to Mr. Hammer that while our diesel generators are in very good shape, the control boards for those are getting really outdated. The company no longer manufactures them or makes parts for them anymore. I believe there's like 5 or 6 of them, and some of them can be $60,000 to replace, and it's something we're going to have to look toward doing in the near future. Is any of that accounted for in this? And
do you have any of that in there? I know you had.
Yeah, I didn't put that in the original budget for retrofitting to one of the generators.
Should we have Mr. Hammer in the mic?
Yeah, he's got 65,000 on this on page 90. 65,000 in there for generator equipment. Is that what that's some of that's for?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you'd like to.
You didn't think you'd get out of this meeting without having come up there, did you?
By Hammer, 690 Evergreen. I'm your electrical superintendent. Years ago, we had our old Worthington generators, some of you are familiar with, and they were getting old and tired, and we had an opportunity to swap those out with some slightly newer EMDs. I call them the big block Chevy of the diesel world. And anyway, we already had one in service, a big 20-cylinder unit, and these 16-cylinder units that we have are a variance of that same unit. They interchange components, and so we've managed to completely standardize our parts inventory and that kind of thing. So that was a good thing. They came with, as part of a package deal, all of the excitation equipment, voltage regulation, everything that we needed to basically plug them in and make them operational. Unfortunately, that equipment was all pretty dated. It was 70s, early 80s vintage equipment. And anyway, over the years, we've developed an anomaly with one of the generators, and it has this really bad habit. It's rated for 2 megawatts, and unfortunately, when it gets loaded up past a certain point, oftentimes it's 1.6 to 1.8 megawatts. It just decides to drop everything. And that, if we were islanded and running completely off of our own diesel power, that would be enough to put the entire town in the black. Anyway, we've been through it ourselves, frontwards and backwards, and we've been working on it for years, trying to isolate the problem. And we've had some help from an engineering outfit out of Juneau. And basically, we have that isolated to one particular spot in our voltage regulation equipment. And those components are what's compromised in that $65,000. That is just for one unit. And the other ones, so far, we haven't had any issues with them. But at some point in time, we're probably going to want to standardize in an effort to keep everything the same and keep everything current. And so I would imagine one of these days we'll be looking at getting some funding to bring the other ones up to par as well.
How many are there?
There's a total of 3 of those particular units, and 4 altogether, but 3 that share that same equipment. So anyway, this is a retrofit kit that's basically built by the same company, Basler Electric, that built the original equipment. So, anyway. But good?
Any other questions?
No. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Any other issues with the budget? Any other sections of the budget?